Well, I'm glad I finally found a schedule, because apparently I'm up. Alrighty, guys. Well, it only seems fitting for a youth service that I wanted to tackle something that covers something very relevant for youth today. I've had the opportunity of sitting under Pastor Jono for many, many years, and the passage I seem to keep coming back to is 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy has been really special for me. It was the first quizzing passage I actually really, really tackled. I memorized the book. It was a passage at Northwestern Preparatory. It was the first thing we covered in our Bible study there. It was also the quizzing passage this year, and we did it at CAST. So coming back to it's been really, really cool. And I think it's so relevant for the youth today because this is a passage written by a dying man. These were Paul's last words to his confidant, and most importantly, he was his understudy, Timothy. In this passage, it's like the last words a father gives to his son. And those are some of the most important words you will ever get out of your father. So in looking at that today, this is for everybody. This isn't just for the young people, which apparently I'm an old person, right, PJ? Isn't that cool? But it's not just for the young people. It's for the old people, too. So if you guys would please join me in turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. That is 2 Timothy 2:22. And as you're turning there, I would like to give you all an example that I think really does demonstrate this passage quite well. This is from a godly man named D.L. Moody. Now, one day, Mr. Moody's wife came home and told him that she had just come from a friend's house where one of the children, who was a little boy, they're dangerous, little boy had been cutting something with a knife. Now, the knife had slipped and cut upwards towards his eye and took out his eye. That little boy lost his eye. Now, as you can imagine, Mrs. Moody was very, very, very cognizant of sharp objects in the house at this point. Now, tell a child he can't have something, and guess what he wants? He wants that something. And with that being said, one day, Mrs. Moody's out of the house, little Moody is playing with scissors. Now, somehow he had gotten these scissors, we don't know how, but he had them, and he would not let them go. Their daughter, his sister, saw the scissors and was immediately concerned. She had heard what her mother had said, and she knew to take away the scissors. But this boy was not about to let his shiny, brand new toy go. So what did she do? She saw an orange. She took this orange and gave it to the boy. He immediately saw the bright new colors, dropped the dangerous object, and started playing with the orange. Now, Mr. Moody concluded that we can be like this boy sometimes. Sometimes God has to take away the scissors, but he does give us an orange. Sometimes youthful lusts come when we must give them up, and we must replace them with better things. The youthful lusts we're going to look at this passage, those are the scissors. They're shiny, they're fun at the moment, but they can end in disaster. Now, please look at 2 Timothy 2:22 and follow along as I read that 22nd verse. It says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now, how are Christian young people supposed to live with a pure heart in today's evil society? Does the Bible leave them out to dry? Or are we given a blueprint, something we can look at and follow closely as we try to navigate this dangerous and sinful world? In this passage, we are given just such a blueprint. In this passage, Paul is writing to Timothy, a young pastor. In this verse, he gives Timothy and us three simple and very important steps that we must use in order to live purely in this wicked society. If you want to be used of God, if you want to be effective for God's will in your life, you must actively do these three things in your life. Through these three actions, we will be better used of God. We will flee sinful pleasures and sensual cravings and instead follow after the things of God. The first action Paul gives us in this verse is flee. A Christian who desires to live a pure life will flee youthful lusts. Now, what are youthful lusts? I mean, I feel like that's kind of important to this entire passage. So let's look at that. The Bible often tells us to flee. They tell us to flee, 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 flee. But flee what? What are we to flee? We are to flee these youthful lusts. These are childlike cravings. something that is dangerous, something that as a child we like to play with dangerous things. We don't know any better. But in this passage, it tells us exactly what those are. But before I tell you what those are, let's look at what to flee means. In fleeing, it means to avoid something, to run away from, to escape, to turn from, vanquish, disappear. We are to stay as far away as possible from these things that will trip us up. You don't even go near it. That means you don't just avoid it when you see it. It means to actively avoid it. You don't go down the street where you know that's going to be. You don't go near something that you know you are prone to be tempted with. And in that, we have to avoid these childlike cravings I'd mentioned before. To sum this up in a 21st century lingo, we are to run from childlike cravings or desires. Now, I can't think of a much better example than Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament was given the opportunity to sin with Potiphar's wife. Please actually turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. That is Genesis chapter 39. I left my phone down there, so I'm going to turn there with you. It is so much easier on your phone. Now look specifically at verse 7. Starting in verse 7, we see the beginning of what would be Joseph's catalyst into God's will. In verse 7, it says, "And Joseph was a goodly person, well-favored." Starting in verse 7, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater than I in this house, neither that he hath kept from me back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkeneth not unto her, nor lie with her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled, and got him out. And it came to pass that when she had saw that he left his garment in her hand and was fled forth." Now, looking at this, what can we conclude? Are we to sit there and to think about it for a minute, to weigh our options? No, Joseph left so fast, she was still holding on to his garments, his jacket, if to put it more in 21st century lingo yet again. You don't even think about sin. You make that decision before you even get there. You will not sin. You will not put yourself in a position to sin, and you will not pull yourself into a position where you are not in God's will. If you're going to flee a temptation when it comes to getting out, yikes, my pages got mixed up. You must put yourself in a place where you might not be tempted in the first place. That is fleeing. The second, and equally as important point, is to follow. A Christian who desires to live a pure life will follow. Now, following sounds easy enough, but what are you to follow? But follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace is what the passage says. Paul is telling Timothy to flee. Now he's telling Timothy what to follow. He also gives a similar statement when he tells Timothy to follow or pursue these four things. The four things we are to follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. What is righteousness? Righteousness is used throughout the Bible countless times, but at least in my case, I felt I was skimming over it. What does it actually mean? Righteousness is a state of harmony with God's law. It is where you are perfectly in tune with God and his will. What is faith? The second portion. Faith is a humble yet dynamic confidence in God. It is trusting him for everything while fearing him as his humble servant. It is an equilibrium there where you are you're trusting in him, but you are humble at the same time because you know your power does not come from you. It comes from him. Your third point, charity. Charity is a deep affection for our fellow Christians. It's loving them as brothers and as sisters. And the fourth and probably most important is peace. It is an undisturbed and perfect harmony with all of our siblings in Christ. Those four things, righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, these are the things we're to chase after, not to chase after the youthful lusts that are given to us in this world. Now, for an illustration of this, something that we can look at as a real-life example of this, think of a house. You have these old, dilapidated houses on Colfax that are all tearing down now. And these houses have been there for years. They are rotting. Their foundations are rotten. The cross beams actually keeping the house and the roof up are rotting. What do we do? Do we move into that house right away and just try to begin living there? We begin replacing things. We replace them with sturdy foundations, with new crossbeams, new rivets, everything to keep this house solid and founded. That's exactly what Paul is doing here. He's telling us you can't chase these youthful lusts. They will destroy you. But at the same time, he doesn't give us nothing to go after. He tells us to go after these things. These are the new rivets. This is the new foundation. This is the new crossbeam for your life. Righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Now the third portion of this chapter, or rather this verse, is with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. I call the first point flee, the second point follow, the third point is fellowship. With them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, who are them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart? You can try to do your daily devotions by yourself. That is a great thing. That is a very important thing. But if you are out of fellowship with believers, you are missing them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart.